الحمدللہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدن المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا اما بعد فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی فی القرآن المجید اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم شہد اللہ انہ لا الہ الا ہو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله فضل كرم من إحسان فالله تعالى Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to gather here in His house to make some mudakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Our Hazrat Mu'iz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that when the Akabirin speak, our Mashayikh speak, then their words are not just words, but their words, they come out in a capsule of noor. And this noor then enters the ear and permeates the heart. And listening to Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, Namat Barakatuhu, one experiences that. Words, although the talk may be very simple, but it affects the heart. Allah Ta'ala make it such that it is a moment of our hidayat, a turning point in our lives. And Allah Ta'ala keep our mashayikh, our asatiza, our muhtamims, Allah Ta'ala keep the saya over us for a long time to come. The ayat-e kareema that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears testimony. Allah Ta'ala is bearing testimony that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. The malaika also bear this testimony, and the people of knowledge also bear this testimony. So it is mentioned, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned this in Ma'riful Quran also, that there were two Jewish people who were traveling, and when they came, remember, Allah Ta'ala had already described the birthplace of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the place of hijrat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and not only that, even the description of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was already given in the previous scriptures. This is why Allah Ta'ala says with regards to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a father would recognize their own children. So as they recognize their own children, like that they recognized with such certainty, they knew that this is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the last Nabi that we are waiting for, this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite that, they didn't bring iman. Sometimes we wonder that if a person is knowledgeable, then how can he be astray? These people were knowledgeable. They knew. They had the knowledge, but they never brought iman. So this iman, a lot of times we hear the Jamaat brothers, they stand up and they make elan in the masjid, and they, when they bayan also, the first thing they'll talk about is iman. The greatest gift, iman. Mona Burhan Sahib also, he mentioned greatest gift, iman. So sometimes we don't appreciate this sentence. We hear it so many times. We don't appreciate this sentence. Only if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to bring iman, will a person bring iman. Only if Allah Ta'ala keeps us with iman, will we remain with iman. So we must always make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman, Allah Ta'ala take us with iman. If we don't have iman, we have nothing. If we don't have iman, we are losers. We have absolutely nothing. So these two Jewish people, they were traveling and they were informed by someone that there is a person now who is claiming Nubuwat, that is here in Madina Munawara. And when they heard, they looked at the city, and when they heard things, they said, no man, this does sound like the final Nabi. So they went to go and meet Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they went, they introduced themselves, and then they told Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we want to ask you one question, and if you reply correctly, then we will bring iman. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no problem, what is your question? So they asked Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the greatest testimony in the Quran Sharif? On that occasion, Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat kareema. That Shahid Allah, Allah Ta'ala is giving testimony. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayat kareema to them, and immediately they brought iman. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with iman, they brought iman. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. The malaika are also saying this. They are also bearing this testimony. And the ulul ilm, the people of knowledge, true knowledge, they also bear this testimony. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ali, he mentions that this is a basharat for the ulama. True ulama, ulama-e haq, ulama-e rabbani, this is a glad tiding. That Allah Ta'ala has placed them also in this ayat-e kareema. And other mufassireen explain that this ulul ilm in this ayat-e kareema is not only referring to the ulama, who we regard as the ulama of the ummah, is not only referring to them, but is referring to every person who studies the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he comes to this conclusion, La ilaha illallah. He comes to this conclusion that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. So he is regarded as a person of ilm. Our Hazrat Mu'in Sibatil Sam rahmatullah ali, he used to mention that you take a person who is a brain surgeon or a heart surgeon. They are working with the brain all the time. They are opening people's scalp. They are working with the brain. Some are opening the chest. They are working with the heart. They themselves, they see that if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want anything to happen, there's nothing we can do. With the brain, they see how complex it is. But they haven't brought iman. They haven't brought iman. So that grade 1 or grade 2 child who is reciting, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, that child is more intelligent than that brain surgeon. The brain surgeon who is a disbeliever, that grade 1 child, that grade 2 child is more intelligent than that brain surgeon. Because he hasn't even recognized who his Allah Ta'ala is. This child has recognized. The whole object, the whole maqsad that Allah Ta'ala put us into the dunya is to realize who Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala wants us as his bandas to realize who Allah Ta'ala is. So Allah Ta'ala then mentions, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That deen, the only deen that is acceptable, the only deen that is regarded as a deen in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the deen of Islam. What is deen? We hear this word deen. What is deen? Deen is every deen that was brought by every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. That is deen. Every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, there were certain common things that are common, the main aspects of our aqidah, the main things, our belief system. Every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala taught the same thing. So deen is what every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala brought to the world. And who is a follower of Islam? Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is each and every person who followed the deen of every Nabi when that Nabi came with that deen. When that Nabi came with that deen, whoever followed that deen correctly is regarded as a Muslim. So whether it was in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, whether it was in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, every person who believed is regarded as a Muslim. However, one very, very important thing that we have to understand is once a Nabi has passed away and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a new Nabi with a new Shariat, with a new divine scripture, then every banda of Allah ta'ala on earth has to now follow what this new Nabi has brought. Even if a person had to be in possession of an authentic copy of the divine scripture of the previous Nabi, he has got no right, no authority to follow it. Those people who were following the deen of a previous Nabi, and then the new Nabi came, and they wholeheartedly accepted the deen that the new Nabi has brought, their sawab also is doubled. Their sawab is multiplied. Because they believed in one Nabi, and now they're believing in another Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. They are given the opportunity of believing in two prophets of Allah Ta'ala, two divine codes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their sawab also is multiplied. Having understood this, then we come to this conclusion that Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Once Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his nubuwat, once he was informed of his nubuwat, I say informed of his nubuwat, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say that Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi before Allah Ta'ala created this whole world. If it were not for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala would not have created anything. Agar Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. Na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was not going to be Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have created anything. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his nubuwat when he was 40 years of age. Now he was informed of his nubuwat. So Hazrat used to give the example, like a baby, a fetus in the mother's womb, and the father is a multi-billionaire, and the father passes away. Everybody is waiting for this baby to be born now, to see whether the sister-in-law is going to inherit or not. Today there's a big musibah. But that's a topic for another day now. So now when this child is born, boy, I'm telling you, there are some ladies, they got daughters. They keep wanting to have more children. They're making dua, they must get one son. Limaza, he said, no. If I get a son, then my brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, they won't inherit from my husband's estate. If I don't get a son, then now they're going to inherit now. So much the enmity is, and so much lalach for wealth today. The distribution of Allah Ta'ala we are not happy with. So, coming back to this, what we were saying is that this child now is born and is a son, and he is now the heir to his father's, all the father's estate, everything, he is the heir. So as a child, what does he know? He's already a multi-billionaire. The effects will be seen on him, the type of clothing, the type of food, everything, but he doesn't know what he's worth. Only when he reaches a certain age, now the accountant will call him and they say, right, boy, this is what you are worth now. So he was already that, but now he is informed of it. So Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He was already the greatest after Allah Ta'ala. But only at a certain time now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of it. Now once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his nubuwat, and once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now started proclaiming his nubuwat and giving da'wat to Allah Ta'ala, now no person has got a right to follow any other religion. No person has got a right. Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that even if the Anbiya alayhimus salam of the past had to be alive in my time, they too would have no choice but to follow this, the deen that I have brought. So now, you know, in the past, the ulama used to tell us, I remember Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib, he spoke about our late Shaykh Ismail Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, and he used to have these programs on what they call New Year's night, and it's not nothing to us. But because many youngsters, they were involved in all those gunas, so they used to request Hazrat that please have a program, because our nafs is pulling us there. If we don't have something to do, then we'll end up in all those parties and raves and haram activity. So Hazrat used to have a program, keep them in the masjid. So when the program used to finish, then Hazrat used to mention that, see, now don't take a drive to go and see the aftermath. He said, alright, let's just take a drive now, we just go check what happened, like, you know. Say, don't take a drive there. And then Hazrat used to say that, see, if you're going to take a drive there, you are imitating the people who took part in all of that. And you are increasing the number. And what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum," that person who imitates a nation, then he is part of them. And "Man kathara suwada qawmin fahuwa minhum," that person who increases the numbers of a people, then he will be, he is from amongst them, or he will be raised with them, etc. So Hazrat used to caution. So at that time, whenever we were told, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was about, you know what, don't make your hairstyle like the hairstyle of the kuffar. Don't make, you know, your family gatherings like the family gatherings of the kuffar. Don't make your nikahs and your wanimas like that of the kuffar. Today, the wonderful ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like a rose. It keeps opening. It keeps opening and keeps giving new petals, new fragrance. Today's time, when we are talking about not imitating the kuffar, then we are actually talking about their kuffar rituals, their mushrikana rituals. People today, Muslim people, are putting Christmas trees on their status. Muslim people want to wish other people this happy and that happy and whatever, merry and all those, they want to. Muslim people are asking, fatawa, istiftas are coming to Darul Iftas. Hey, is it okay if we just have one Christmas tree? We got no, we're not believing in all of that, but we just have one Christmas tree. Is it okay if we do that? Where is this thing going? And then you get certain people who are saying that, no, now, you know, we have to interact. We have to have this kind of interfaith. And so this, all these things are attacking the core of our iman. These things are dangerous. We are heading down such a slippery slope. There's no way we'll be able to stand. This interfaith is being downplayed. The people that are involved in this interfaith, they downplay it. No, we don't believe in all that, and we're just going there now just to show that we're part of the country and whatever. As a mu'min believes that there's only one deen. Allah Ta'ala is saying it in the Quran Sharif. Inna deen indallahi al-Islam. A person who believed in the deen that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam brought, or the deen that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam brought, they are all Muslim. They are Muslims. They believed in that. They are regarded as Muslim. in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot still be believing in all that. Those things are all cancelled. They are all finished. They are abrogated. They are out. Now you have to believe in the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In an interfaith gathering, you have to sit there and listen to what each person, that person is a pandit, that person is a Buddha, that person is a Yahud, that one is Nasara, that one is whatever. Now, they must be allowed to talk and mention whatever they want to say about what they believe is a faith. That's not a faith. It's kufr, it's shirk. And you must sit there and you cannot tell them that what you're saying is wrong. You cannot tell them that I don't believe what you're saying. You cannot tell them that if your belief system is taking you to Jahannam, you have to now bring every deen on one platform. So in other words, you have to take kufr, you have to take shirk, you have to take Buddhism, you have to take Hinduism, all these things, and you have to say that they are wanaudhu billah on par with Islam. One person, I heard this a few days ago, I don't know when it was mentioned, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind, you know, my brain around it, that a statement was made that you are pointing finger at us, that we are going for this interfaith and whatever, then how come you are living in a country, the constitution of which regards all faiths to be equal? So if the constitution is regarding all faiths to be equal, then how come you living in that country, and then you saying that you are against interfaith and Abrahamic accords and all these things? So who made the constitution of the country our Sharia? The constitution of the country is there. We will follow, we are law-abiding citizens. We will follow the rules, we will follow the laws of the country. But that doesn't mean that everything that the kuffar government spews out, we need to lick up. Now, for example, if the constitution of the country has recognized prostitution as a means of earning, and if the prostitutes are now having some gathering to talk about prostitution, so do we have to be part of that gathering because the constitution of the country recognizes it? If the gambling dens, all the gamblers now, all the different casinos, they say that no, now we're having one conference on gambling. So now we as ulama, we must say, no, we have to be part of that conference because the constitution of the country recognizes it. This is foolish. It's stupid. I'm trying to wrap my head around this thing that where's the logic? How does it fit in? So we must understand that there is no such thing as Christianity. There's no such thing as Judaism. All those things are batil. They are falsehood. They are kufr. They're not going to bring anybody any success in the akhirat. There's no success in that. The only success is in Deen-e-Islam. So on one side, the wars are taking place, physical wars, against the Muslim Ummah. As Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib mentioned, Darfur, Sudan. If you have to study what's going on there, it's so sick. We don't take the time out to check up what is actually happening. Now is not the time to go into those details, right? But they are just splitting the ummah, cutting the ummah, trying to create smaller countries and divide and rule, right? So that's happening physically. Muslims are being massacred, genocide, whatever you want to call it, right? For us, we know that they are becoming shuhada. Allah Ta'ala raised their daraja. On the other hand is this war that is taking place. This war on ideology to change the thinking of the ummah. Zehni irtidad. People are becoming murtad in their brain. They are still reading namaz. They are still reading Quran Sharif. They are fasting. But they have left the fold of Islam because of their thoughts. As Mawlana Shabbir Sahib is here, he needs to advise us. And I'm going to conclude on this. So, I'm going to give you this, how our thinking is changing. Right? One youngster came to the madrasa some years ago. He came to do that 1 year course. He had completed matric. He comes from a home, mother is in niqab, father is in dari, kurta. In other words, dini type of a family, right? So he came to do the 1 year course. In the course of the year, he is telling me that, no, see, Maulana, this evolution is true. Evolution is true. Is a person in the Darul Uloom, is reading namaz, family is got a dini back, he's telling me that no, evolution is correct. It can't not be correct. And he's giving me all the dalils from science and everything, right? So anyway, we continued for a couple of months, speaking to him, etc. Eventually, one day he came to me and said, okay, Maulana Sia, I've understood now that when it comes to insan, there's no evolution. But when it comes to animals, definitely there's evolution. Definitely there's evolution when it comes to animals. And now he's giving me a whole explanation why with animals there has to be evolution. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala protected him. Allah Ta'ala saved him. By the 3/4 of the year, he made tawbah. And he realized there's no such thing as evolution. And he said that, see, I'm now not going to go to university. This studies is what messed my brain up. Now I'm going to become an alim. Brothers, wallahi, I'm in the house of Allah Ta'ala. I'm telling you, when this child went home, when he told me I'm going to go and become an alim, now how happy you become. That this child from where to where, I'm not saying the person is on kufr or whatever, that Allah Ta'ala alone knows, our muftis will know. But if he was believing in evolution, that he came from a monkey, rather than what the Quran Sharif is telling us, that the first insan was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, is going totally against what the Quran Sharif is saying. Right? So Allah alone knows, but he made tawbah, he made istighfar, and now he brought everything right, his aqidah right. So he went home to tell his parents who are namazi parents, that you know what, I made up my mind now, I'm going to become an alim. Wallahi, the father came to fight. What did you do to my son? What did you do to my son? We sent him here with hope. And now what have you done? You've messed up his whole future. This is how we are reading namaz. Everything is there in its place. But this is our thinking. There are so many examples like this to give you. Brothers, if we are not going to watch, if we are not going to maintain our identity as believers, do everything as Allah Ta'ala has instructed, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown us, and our aqidah, very, very important, our belief system, don't get carried away. Don't get carried away. Sometimes we want to say things, and sometimes we feel that now, you know, you talk, people think, oh, he's pointing finger at that one. He's pointing finger. Oh, they're splitting the ummah. They're doing this, they're doing that. But by, you are intelligent people. Think back in our own country. Leave everything else. Sit with the elders, even those are not ulama, sit with them. Sit with your grandparents. And sit and ask them, that how come you don't have any of your wedding photos? Sit with your dada or your nana who has changed his life, who came from a modern background, And then he changed his life. And ask him, how come you don't have your wedding photos? And he'll tell you, no, the Jamdik Jamaat came, this Mauli Sahab came, that one came, they told us, this thing is all haram. We had all the photos, we burnt everything. Right? So now, then how it became permissible today? So which Shariat were they following? Did the Shariat change? The Shariat can't change. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Madina. So how, what changed? Certain radio stations, when they started off, ask the old people, will tell you. So when they started off, why they never have? Because they were making amal on Shariat. Now what changed? How come ladies are on the radio? What changed? Ask the old people, how come they took their TVs out of their home? The first thing people did when they changed their lives, they took the TV out of the house. At that time we were told it's a Dajjal box. Now it's a Dajjal phone in the pocket. They said the Dajjal box, Shaitan, Dajjal's eye. What that thing used to be called? If anybody changed their life, he went out in Jamaat or he joined some Khanka or something, the first thing, the TV went out. Now, learned people are actors on the TV. What changed? The Shariat never changed. So we are intelligent people. Allah Ta'ala has given a brain to think that which direction are we going in? As we go close to the time of Dajjal, more and more Dajjali fitnas will come out. More and more Dajjali fitnas. If we are not going to hold on to the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, we're not going to hold on. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, addu alayha bin nawajith. Hold on to it like how you bite onto something. Hold like that. Deen will become so hard to make amal upon, like holding a burning coal in your hand. So those who want that najat and that falah, we have to remain firm. If we want the iman of our children and our grandchildren to remain intact, onus is on our shoulders to remain firm. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.